Bigdiga Vardhan Ki Jai, Shivandavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadup Dham Ki Jai, Gang Shramona Tulasi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Pranadakoti Vaishnava Rindagi Jai, Samavetta Bhakta Rindagi Jai, Go Premanandi. All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishnaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvata Deve Gauravani Prachadane Nirvashesha Shunyavari Parsachadesha Tadane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 65 Verse 1 Sri Shuka Uvacha Balabhadra Kuru Shrestha Bhagavan Ratam Astitha Suhrida Diksha Utkantha Prayayo Nanda Gokulam. Sri Suka Uvacha. Sukadeva Goswami said, and Balabhadra, the Lord Balaram, Kuru Shrestha, O best of the Kurus, Bhagavan, Supreme Lord, Aratam, on his chariot, Astita, mounted, Sukrit, his well-wishing friends, Didrikshu, wishing to see, Utkanta, eager, Prayayo, traveled, Nandagokulam, to the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj. Translation, Sukadeva Goswami said, O best of the Kurus, once Lord Balaram, eager to visit his well-wishing friends, mounted his chariot and traveled to Nanda Gokul. Translation, purport. As Srila Jiva Goswami points out, Lord Balaram's journey to Sri Vrindavan is also described in Hari Vamsa, Vishnu Parva, Kasya Chit Atta, Kalasya Smritva Gopeshu Saukradam Jagamaiko Vrajam Ramaha Krishna's Anuma Tastita. Remembering the deep friendship he once enjoyed with the cowherd folk, Lord Rama went alone to Vraja, having taken Lord Krishna's permission. The simple residents of Vrindavan were aggrieved that Lord Krishna had gone to live elsewhere, so Lord Balaram went there to console them. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur addresses the question of why Lord Krishna, the great ocean of pure love, did not also go to Vraja. In explanation, the Acharya provides the following two verses. Prayasi prema vikyata pitarab ati vatsalo prema vasyascha krishnas tam chaktva na katam eshiti iti matvaiva yadavaha pratyabadnan haler gato vraja prema pravardi swa lila dinatvam iyushaha. The Yadus thought the Lord's beloved girlfriends are famous for their pure ecstatic love, and his parents are extremely affectionate towards him. Lord Krishna is controlled by pure love. So if he goes to see them, how will he be able to leave them and come back to us? With this in mind, the Yadus prevented Lord Hari from going, knowing that he becomes subservient to the pastimes in which he reciprocates the ever-increasing love of the inhabitants of Vraja. Sukadeva Goswami said, O best of the Kurus, once Lord Balaram, eager to visit his well-wishing friends, mounted his chariot and traveled to Nandagokul. So when Krishna left Vraja for Mathura, being taken by Akura, all of the residents were aggrieved. Nanda and Yasoda and the elders and the cowherd boys and the servants and the gopis were full of grief. And particularly to the gopis, when Krishna left, he sent them messages and he said, I will return. And then he left on his the chariot of Akura. So he made a promise to them that he would return. And when he got to Mathura with Nanda Maharaj and the elder cowherd men and the cowherd boys, then he killed Kamsa and others, the wrestlers. And then he was staying there. And he sent Nanda Maharaj back with the cowherd boys and the elders. And again he promised that he would come back in a few days. So based on that, Nanda Maharaj went back and he told the people Krishna is going to come back in a few days. Of course, even then the people were not satisfied, like Mother Yasoda. She was very angry because he had promised to bring Krishna back and Krishna wasn't there. And he said, Krishna will come in a few days. But then they waited and Krishna did not come in a few days. And it was only after some months that Krishna sent Uddhava with a message for the gopis and an attempt to pacify Nanda and Yasoda and the gopis. And then after that, he went on to Dwarka, etc., had many pastimes there. So he did not fulfill his promise of coming back in a few days. Consequently, the people of Vrindavan were full of grief, and more intense grief than previously. And, of course, among them, the gopis were the most intensely lamenting, full of pain. So this looks like a very disastrous situation where he made a promise, he didn't fulfill it, and then the people of Vraja were left in pain. But it is also explained that this is not material pain. It is actually part of prema. And prema is the highest bliss. So, from our material point of view, happiness and distress are dualities. And they're not really related to each other. They're opposites. But in the spiritual world, that is not so. It's quite different. So there is a type of lamentation and grief which exists within bliss, within prema. So it's difficult for us to understand how that can be, how the lamentation can also be bliss. So that is necessarily so because there is no duality in the spiritual world. And yet we'll see that there is grief and anger and other emotions which manifest in the various associates out of, as we can say, secondary rasa. So, therefore, the spiritual world and the material world are quite different. So when we have this picture of the people of Vraja lamenting, we cannot take that as a material pain. It is actually part of bliss. So, there are many explanations of why Krishna did not immediately go back. One, of course, is that as an external reason, he had to satisfy the Yadus from whom he had been separated, so he had to give equal time to them also. There was Vasudeva and Devaki, his parents, and the Ugrasena and the elders, and then the friends, and whatever. So he had to spend some time with them. And as well, he had to protect them from the demons who were attacking, like Jarasandha attacked Mathura, so then he went to Dwarka, and then in Dwarka he got attacked by other demons as well. So then ultimately, when Krishna met Nanda Maharaj in Kurukshetra, at that time he promised, I have to go back to Dwarka, but I will come to you after I've killed a few more demons, the last demons are killed. And it is true that after he killed Dantavakra, he went back to Vrindavan. After that, he didn't kill any more demons. So therefore, killing the demons is also a reason. And, of course, connected to that is that if you went back to Vrindavan, then the demons would attack Vrindavan and the people of Raja would be in danger. So he wanted, he couldn't go back because the demons would disturb Raja. So therefore, he had to stay away from Raja and kill all the demons separately. So these are external reasons why Krishna stayed away for so long. Of course, it is explained that the meeting in Kurukshetra, where he, it was a compromise, where he got to meet the people of Vrindavan, that did not take place too many years after he left Vrindavan. It was not so distant. It was not like, you know, 100 years or 50 years or whatever. It's a few years later, not so much further. It was long before the Kurukshetra War, etc. So, there are external reasons for his being away, and then there are internal reasons. So one of the internal reasons is that we see that in separation there is intense longing for the Lord. So this means that the intensity of love increases during separation and consequently it manifests as various extreme symptoms, which were exhibited by the people of Vrindavan and particularly the gopis and Radha in separation. So one reason for separating was to display to the world the exalted status of the people of Vrindavan. And it is true that when Uddhava went there and he observed the people of Vrindavan, then he understood these are the highest devotees because of the intense longing and separation. We see that the Yadus were separated from Krishna for 11 years from his birth. They didn't see him. But they did not undergo symptoms of separation like the people of Vrindavan after a few seconds of separation. So for 11 years they were separated and they didn't feel such separation. So Uddhava, when he saw the condition of the people after a few months, then he reported this to the Yadus and he said, these are the highest devotees because their love is more intense than the that of the people of Mathura. And it, the evidence is that in separation they have extreme symptoms of their love. So in other words, by separation it becomes evident that the people of Vrindavan are the highest devotees, and particularly the gopis. So that's what we can say is another reason for this separation. And though it looks like pain, lamentation, etc., very negative feelings, actually, it is also explained that within that pain of separation, one can experience the highest bliss. Since it is part of prema, even within that so-called lamentation and separation and pain, one can experience the highest bliss. So that also is very difficult for us to understand, that how the pain of separation turns into the highest bliss. Nevertheless, this is the explanation given by our Goswamis, that it actually is an experience of bliss itself, and the person can experience bliss within that. One reason is, of course, that within that pain of separation, while the separation is there, the Lord appears internally and satisfies the devotees. And then it's explained that, oh, Krishna separated himself from the people of Vrindavan, and he was in Mathura, they were there. Actually, they were not completely separated, because he appeared internally to them, and they would get some satisfaction. Of course, they were not completely satisfied with that, particularly the gopis, so they demanded him to be physically present as well. But there is some satisfaction in the internal manifestation, or the spurti of the Lord. So that takes place also as some sort of bliss. Krishna also gives another explanation in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And he says that actually they will not be relieved of their pain of separation even if I return. Because when I return, then they will fear that I will leave again, and then I'll also give them pain. So even when I'm there, they feel separated, because they fear that Krishna will disappear in a few days again. So they will lament in that way also. And there's also a symptom called prema vaichitya. It's a type of separation when separation is not actually there. That is, for instance, the queens in Dwarka are with Krishna, but they lament Krishna is not here. And even if he's standing in front of them sometimes in ecstasy, they feel like he has disappeared in their ecstasy. So even though in the presence of Krishna, sometimes in ecstasy, they feel his absence also. So separation and meeting, they look like two opposite things. Actually, they kind of merge together. And in the separation, there is meeting. And in the meeting, there's also feelings of separation. So therefore, we should not consider that separation is in any way negative. It's also part of that prema. And within that, one can experience the highest bliss. So whether Krishna is there in Vrindavan with them or he's separated, in either case, the devotees can experience the highest bliss. So in this way, there are many different explanations. Here, Vishnu Chakravarti explains that the Yadus prevented Krishna from coming back. That's another external reason, because they feared that if he went, then he wouldn't come back again. Which is also true, because from their point of view, that if he is with the people of Vrindavan, he experiences such bliss, he'll forget about the Yadus also. But then again, we can also say that he expands his form so he can be in both places at once. So it's not difficult for the Lord to solve this particular problem. Nevertheless, the Yadus were also feeling that Krishna would leave them. And thus they didn't want him to go back to Vrindavan, because they thought he would stay there. That again is their expression of their own attachment for the Lord. That they fear at one point he will disappear. And of course, if he did, then they would feel separation as well. In this way, the Yadus were not favorable for Krishna going there. So here we have a compromise. Krishna would not go, but Balaram would go. So Krishna is very, and Balaram are very similar. So if Balaram were to go there in place of Krishna, it would not be exactly the same, and that wouldn't be satisfying to the gopis in exactly the same way, but there would be some satisfaction from the people in general, because they were very similar. Therefore, Balaram says here that he was eager to see his friends in Raja, and he became very eager. And therefore, he got on his chariot and he went to Nanda Gokul. So, we can say, is a bit of a compromise, and Krishna, through Balaram, returns to Vrindavan. So at least people were satisfied to some degree. So this is one way in which there was relief for the people of Raja in separation. The other relief was they got to meet Krishna in Kurukshetra. So there was some relief at that time. The gopis went there as well. And they actually had very great difficulty in separating themselves from Krishna at that time. So though the eclipse only lasted a few days and the whole ceremony only lasted a few days, they stayed there for several months with Krishna. And they could not leave him, and he could not leave them. But finally he explained, you have to go back because I have to go to Dwarka and kill some more demons, because at that time Salva was attacking the city. So therefore he told them to go back, and he promised again, I will return after killing the last demons. So after he did kill the last demons, he did return. And that's explained in Padma Purana. And when he returned, of course, there was great joy, and everyone was satisfied, including the gopis. And then he had pastimes there for several months. Then it's explained that a big chariot came down, and everybody got on the chariot. All the people of Raja, all the gopis, and the elders, and Nanda, and Yasoda, and Krishna, and they went up to Goloka. But simultaneously, Krishna went back to Mathura again. Back to Dwarka. And he stayed there for some time again. So in other words, he had two forms. One which went back to Dwarka, and the other which went to Goloka finally. But it's also explained that there was another form, because Krishna stayed in Vrindavan with all the people of Raja, but it was apricot, invisible, but they were still there. And the form that went to Goloka was not exactly the same Goloka, it was Aishwarya Goloka, where there is, I can say, worship of Krishna with reverence and some opulence, etc. So in this way, Krishna finally fulfilled his promise externally by returning there and then remaining with them. So in this way, finally his promise was fulfilled. So in this way the people were satisfied. But we see that even in the spiritual world, there's also separation. The separation may be only for a few seconds or a few hours, but even a few seconds feels like a kalpa. So a day of Brahma. So the pastimes of the Lord are never free of separation, even in the spiritual world. And when it happens, then there is great lamentation. So it's not only in the material world, it's the spiritual world. Of course, we can say that in the material world, this separation was prolonged, a long separation, where Krishna went away for a long period of time, not even a few days, but many years. So this makes it more intense from our point of view. However, from the spiritual point of view, what is time? Time is it's a material thing, so therefore a few seconds can become a few yugas, and a few yugas can become a few seconds for the Lord. It doesn't really matter. So he displayed this pastime in the material world, where he was absent for many years. Within that time, he resolved the issue in different ways. A third way, another way of resolving the issue, is that Krishna did fulfill his promise, and after several months, then he did return. But this again is, we can say, apricot. And therefore, simultaneously, we have the people of Vrindavan in separation for many years. And then we have the upper cup version where Krishna came back and he's with all the people of Vrindavan and they continue the pastimes. But that's upper cup. So simultaneously they had two forms, all the people of Raja, one in separation, one in union. So in this way, his promise was not broken. He fulfilled his promise to come back very soon. So there are many ways of explaining the situation of Krishna separating from the people and fulfilling his promise or not fulfilling his promise, etc. But in any case, we should understand that the separation is ultimately part of prema, and therefore it's experienced within the spiritual world and pastimes in the material world. It is not material lamentation and grief. They don't know. Well, we can say that there may be some sort of perception like that. They always long for Krishna to be directly in front of them rather than simply internally or whatever. And in that sense, probably we can say that, yes, they have this perception that the meeting him is better or whatever like that. But at the same time, we can't say that they don't experience that bliss internally as well during separation. That there is a type of bliss, but we can say maybe it's temporary. Temporarily happens and then disappears, and again they lament. So there's, we can say, a prominence of lamentation and separation, but periodically there's intense bliss as well.
Can you say that when the union, even when separation, there is always unsatisfaction? There's always unsatisfaction that because you will explain that, you know, when Krishna is with them, there is again this there of intimacy. And when he's not there, already there is already the separated peace.
Yeah.
Can you say there is always unsatisfaction?
Yeah, in one sense, yes. Yeah. But that again is that dissatisfaction is part of the prema itself. So it's not like material dissatisfaction. But it is part of the prema itself.
And the question comes, you were saying that there are three Krishnas, one Krishna went to Dwarka, one Krishna went to they mean they are not in invisible form. Okay. So those who and then Krishna who went to Vrindavan, Golok Vrindavan, you say that you say Vaishri Golok. That means those who were with Krishna in the past time, they are not from this Madhurya Golok.
Oh, well, they would say there's two aspects there. Because he remained uppercut in one form,
so those who are in,
and then there are another form which had merged into them, I suppose, went to Aishwarya Goloka in a big chariot.
That means, because we understand that, you know, those who were in the Aishwarya Goloka, they have some perception that Krishna is the Supreme Lord.
Yeah.
So that means this, if those who are in the one part, those who went to Goloka, Aishwarya Goloka, they were aware that Krishna is the Supreme Lord.
Yeah.
Then how can we say that Nanda Mataras, because there is a 10 can go to, if you read 7-8 chapters, but then it said, you know, that Nanda and Yashoda's love is so intense that even they are not aware.
Yeah. So there, the descriptions in the Bhagavatam is the, it's not the Aishwarya Goloka aspect.
Yeah.
So we can say that Aishwarya Goloka aspect of them was merged into them, and then it separated and they went to Aishwarya Goloka. So it remained dormant when they were in Vrindavan in the material world.
The unprepared form of the Lord, how is it not impersonal? I mean,
uppercut. It's like the spiritual world. Just we cannot see it, but there's form, qualities, activities, but invisible. Whereas the prakat pastimes, you could see them if you, you know, like a demon see Krishna, even like that. Huh? The apricot is like in Vrindavan now, the pastimes are going on, but we cannot see it. So there's form, qualities, activities, but we just cannot see it. In that sense, it's
apricot.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you mentioned about Krishna's presence. Some devotees felt separation was there. And in some places, when he is not present, they felt his presence. So, can you explain this?
Well, this is the nature of, it's not like the material world where an object is in one place, it cannot be in another place. That's material duality. Spiritually, Krishna can be anywhere at any time, and it can be all places, all times also, by his will. Now, so basically for pastimes, he may appear or he may disappear. But because he's disappeared, it doesn't mean he's not there. He can be there also. So it said when Krishna disappeared in the Ras Lila, they were looking for him, etc. And then finally they went to the bank of the Jamuna River and did kirtan. And then Krishna appeared. And then he explained, I've always been there. He just didn't see me. So Krishna can appear and disappear. He can be there, actually, but we can't see him. Even if you have spiritual eyes, as in the case of the gopis. So Krishna can be there even in separation, but we cannot see him. So it's due to his Lila Shakti, etc., and Yoga Maya, etc., that he becomes invisible to us at that time. And it's for pastimes that he does that.
Thanks. In all the Goswami descriptions of Vrindavan, we find a lot of Aishwarya. The buildings are made of gold, some have gems, sapphires, emeralds, and rubies. So I'm wondering, is all this just their construction material, or is it Aishwarya?
Well, it can be, but the main aspect of Aishwarya Goloka is that the conception that Krishna is Supreme Lord, and he's given great respect, and there's some fear of him. So that's the main element. So if that's not there, then we call that Vrindavan, even if there is, you know, gold and diamonds and rubies and whatever like that, or palaces like that. They still think of him as a cowherd person, like this. Krishna is a cowherd boy, he's the son of Ananda, etc. So when there's lack of reverence, then we don't call that Aishwarya. But when there is, then we call Aishwarya Goloka.
So it is not based on these things, what in the material world we consider as
Yeah.
But why is so much importance given to that in all the descriptions?
This, I think mainly that is for our own, we can say, perception to understand that the highest place has the highest wealth and the highest beauty, etc., etc. It has the highest of everything. But obviously, a spiritual diamond or a spiritual ruby or spiritual gold is it can't be like this. So the value is completely meaningless there, but it's only for a display of beauty and attraction.
If the Aishwarya Vrindavan people, all of them went to Aishwarya Vrindavan, and then Krishna is still continuing in Vrindavan. So is that the Krishna we say, like the Dham Krishna is living eternally? So is that, you say that those people went to Aishwarya Goloka, and again some people are continuing in Aprakat Lila in Vrindavan. So are they still there? Are they the people who are still there in Vrindavan?
In Aprakat Lila?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they are eternally existing in the material universe.
Yeah. Not stealing Brahma's property. So that's particularly because accidentally King Nriga gave the same cow to the Brahmanas, so, and then they quarreled over the cow, and one said it's mine, the other said it's mine. So in charity, he had kind of mistakenly taken the cow from one Brahmana, so that's the stealing, accidental stealing. So even accidental stealing gives that result. What to speak of intentional taking from a Brahmana like that?